Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we are in a post-Restaurant Wars era. We're in a post-Kristen Kish era right now in season 10.
I don't even have words. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we spend this much of this season without Kristen Kish.
Yeah, but don't get too comfortable, chefs. She's coming back.
Don't get on any more boats because she might... Just kidding. That's a spoiler alert. There are a lot of boats this season.
So
I know we're not talking about one yet, but.
Dude, something I do not like about the Pacific Northwest, cold boat culture.
Cold boat culture.
If I'm on a boat. Oh, should I save this for judgy table?
Save it. Save it. But I will say that like the only boat, the cold boat that I can get with is when you get one of those like seafood platters in a boat. You know, when you like just get like a bunch of different types of seafood, like crab legs and clams, and they put it in like a like
boat. Oh, you're talking about the serving vessel.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what boat are you on where you're just getting like raw?
Yeah, that was pretty misleading. I jumped to a totally different concept.
Yeah, that is super nice. I love a raw tower.
A raw tower, that's it. Yes.
I like I don't universally like shellfish, but I like oysters and I like calamari. Fried or grilled, just saying.
Calamar.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, okay, we are getting a bit ahead of ourselves because we have episode numero 12 to discuss today, and it's a fun one.
Yes, this is pure entertainment.
Let me see if we have any leftovers from last episode. I actually don't think that we do.
I don't think we do either.
So without – oh, Clean Plate Club.
Clean Plate Club.
Added to the counter.
0 days since last.
Leftover. Oh, love us. Okay, well, with that, let's begin.
Okay, Nancy, what is your amuse-bouche reaction to this delicious dinner party?
My amuse-bouche reaction is, like some people really took an L on this challenge. Like I was borderline horrified by some of the things I saw in this episode.
I had cringe, deep fried cringe. So I'm right there with you. What did everybody smoke before they competed in this challenge? Because it was like they did not get the same prompt.
Well, we know that crystal meth is legal in the Pacific Northwest, so maybe that's what's going on. That might be false. I should probably left over like what the legal status of crystal meth is.
That's like right up there with like finding what's his name's like apology letter with the pasta.
Oh,
recipe.
Mario Batali? Yeah. With the cinnamon bun recipe? Wait, okay, sorry. We've already failed the Clean Plate Club for this episode because I have to look up the like classification of whatever one drugs. Yes. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it just was – we got to talk about the quickfire before we get into the elimination challenge, which was like so mind-bogglingly bad. Challenge, great. Performance, poor.
Yes. And I will say like in a positive light on this episode offers a really great answer to the question of if you could have dinner with anyone alive or dead, who would it be?
Oh.
And it would just be this entire table.
Yeah. That's okay. But let me ask you the question. If you could have dinner with anyone alive or dead, who's not at this table?
I can't answer that at this time.
Oh.
Those questions like stress me out. That's like asking like, what's your favorite song?
I have a favorite song.
Make
Your Own Kind of Music by Mama Cass.
That's a good one.
I love – for my 30th birthday, which was clearly this year, JK.
Just coming up.
I sort of – yeah, it's actually coming up in like 5 years. I'm 25. That's why I started a podcast.
I'm a baby.
My fantasy was I wanted to actually do a cabaret where I just wrote a bunch of parody music and performed it for everyone. And I wanted to start or finish, I couldn't decide, by coming out on the stage in like a full band leader costume to make your own kind of music by Mama Cass.
That would be really nice. There's a bit of Richard Cheese. There's a bit of Weird Al Yankovic. And there's also a bit of Chapel Roan in that.
Concept. Spoiler alert, predates that. I'm older than 30. So I had this idea before Chapel Roan was like really a pop thing. Just saying.
That's incredible.
But Weird Al definitely existed.
Know him.
Okay, we need to move on because I'm going to be honest. I have sort of personal anecdotes, annoyingly, because it's all about me, for like a lot of things in this episode.
Okay, well, Len, let's get moving. All right, so the quick fire this week was to make sushi for sushi master Katsui.
Katsuya.
Oh, I wrote Katsui.
Okay, and... at personal anecdote alert, the reason why I know it's Katsuya is because the year is 2007. Yes, the year, it's December 2007.
Mm-hmm.
For the holidays, my family has gone to Los Angeles to visit our friends out there. We stayed with them. And they all had kids our age. I was a sophomore in high school. My sister Emily was a senior in high school. She had just done her college applications. That's not important to the story, but it's an important time detail. Anyway, we were sort of like all old enough to go out to dinner without the parents. And so it was like the kids in LA having a cool dinner. And we made a reservation at the hot new spot in town, Katsuya. Okay. We arrive to Katsuya and we are told that we have to wait for our table because there is a VIP guest at it. Would you like to know who the VIP guest at our table was? Are you ready for like the most 2007 peak celebrity?
Justin Bieber, Paris Hilton.
Kanye West.
Wow.
Mr. West, who at the time was awesome and like ruled the game and was not anti-Semitic or like delusional, was sitting at our table. And we had to wait for him to finish his meal so that we could sit down.
That is crazy. Who sat in his chair?
Our family friend Spencer sat there. Anyway, let's get to the challenge.
For that reason, that's like when Michael Scott in The Office like has like a really long, like, what is it called? Like mnemonic device for remembering somebody's name. That was yours for Katsuya.
Okay, sorry. It just like I am so deeply...
That's not a crazy story.
But like connected to this place.
That is a crazy, crazy.
The core memory.
Yeah. I mean, seeing a famous person out at that age, frankly, at any age, you're sort of just like, I mean, I remember when we saw Will Ferrell in New Orleans. Or was I not with you?
Oh my God. Yes. At Pesh.
Yeah. Yeah. With a huge table. And we're like, that's how I feel. Exactly like Will Ferrell.
That's how I feel anytime we interview a Top Chef contestant.
That is so true. Starstruck.
Indeed. Okay. Truly enough out of my mouth. Bits, tell me about this quickfire.
It's simple, really. They just had to make sushi. And for some people, it was like the coolest thing ever. Brooke, notably, told us how much she makes sushi for her and her husband. So she's thinking she's got this in the bag. Okay. Everybody else, I mean, I think Sheldon was fine. Stefan, good. Why? Okay, we had a lot of bacon is where I'm getting at.
Like, what the fuck?
Did we have – I counted two, but there might have been three.
We had – let me look at my notes. We had
– Josie Josh had bacon. And Josie.
Josie had bacon. I think that's it, unless Lizzie did something crazy.
I don't think so. There was a lot of bacon in this episode for sure.
Yeah, but like – by the way, two is two too many. For bacon and on sushi.
Sushi. And then, okay, I need to – let's start with Josh because basically he makes a breakfast sandwich. He makes eggs, bacon, pressed sushi. Like, I don't – I was so annoyed with that. I'm like, this man should not be allowed to make bacon anymore. It actually is unbelievable that he has not gotten called out for that.
I completely agree. And may I add, like, I'm sort of tired – this is a critique I have of any contestant like this on the show. But like the chef who's like, I come from the South and we don't have sushi in the South. So I'm just going to make whatever the fuck I want. I'm not even going to try to ascend to this challenge.
Yes.
I'm just going to do what's comfortable for me.
Yes.
And by the way, the counterpoint to this is our fucking favorite woman in the world, Sarah Bradley.
Yes.
You think they're having sushi and Paducah every night? No. But she would rise to this challenge. She'd say, you know what? It's time to learn something new. I've read this man's book. I know who he is.
Yes, yes. Like,
Josh is insistent on being closed-minded. Insistence on being closed-minded yes. drove me nuts.
Yes. Yes. And like it's unfortunate that it was like rewarded yeah. in the back half. But yes, that is it, exactly where my head is at with this.
It's okay where it's appropriate. Like if you're going to honor your traditions in a fried chicken challenge, great.
Yeah.
But don't be so it's real pick me girl status of just yes. like I'm different from you. I don't eat fancy food. So I'm yeah. going to make bacon.
Completely agree.
Uncreative.
I'm like, did I find this quickfire uninteresting on the whole? Like, I kind of think yes. I did.
I kind of think you did too. Just looking at your face, I can tell.
That's your professional diagnosis. Yeah.
Yeah, as your therapist.
I don't know. Talk to me about this challenge as somebody who's eaten his sushi.
I have eaten your bonza pasta.
You're basically a disciple of his, or what do you call it, a prodigy.
I'm a simp for Katsuya.
Katsuya simp.
There's Katsuya in New York now, by the way. Anyway, that's not important. It's just like the least interesting thing you can do with sushi is make sushi. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like at least with Emerald, it was like you can do a hot preparation or a cold preparation of the oyster. Yeah. They were like. There has to be some spin on sushi that they could have done.
Yeah, yes, like a guardrail, a constraint.
Yeah. I almost wonder if like he had a lot of creative control over the challenge and he was like, I only want sushi.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't want you doing stupid shit to it, like making breakfast sandwiches. But he ended up getting one anyways. Yeah. I think that's definitely true because that is what was – I don't know why it didn't like click for me. But I guess in the moment I was the novelty of cooking for the sushi master and all of that was sort of, yeah. Oh, that's the thing about this quickfire. But yeah, it wasn't enough kind of on its own to be as exciting as some of the ones that we've seen, definitely seen this season.
No way, Jose. Another thing that I'll note is it looked like the sushi rice was already made for them, which I thought was fascinating.
Weird. Oh, I didn't even pick up on that, but you're right.
Because
that's like a whole rice part is of like, it.
Yeah, I would actually say to some people who are like acolytes and like fetishists about sushi, like the rice is more than half of the equation.
Sushi simps.
Like, I think about Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which was fun, but like a bit fetishistic, if you ask me. Like, yeah. Each grain of rice is treated as its own ecosystem. Like, I was amazed that they weren't forced to make rice.
Yeah, I completely agree on second. After you tell me this, I agree with this.
That's my diagnosis. That
is very silly. Yeah, I don't know. Boring, boring, boring. I don't know. We don't need to labor on this because the elimination has more than enough to talk about.
Yeah, let's move right along.
Stefan ends up winning this one somehow. Yeah. I kind of missed what advantage, if any, did he win for the elimination?
I don't think he won any.
Yeah, we're just done with that. We're done with immunity.
Sometimes they might get an advantage. We're done with immunity.
Yeah, he didn't get any advantage. I don't recall.
And he needed it.
Boy, did he need it. If he could have the advantage of never being born in Europe and thus never understanding what a cordon bleu is, that would have been the advantage.
Oh my God. We have to talk about Toot sweet. Let's get to this elimination.
Okay, tell us what it was. Set the scene.
I'm going to set the scene and then I want to let you run with it. Okay. Or should I say fly with it? Okay, so the elimination challenge is simple. Fried chicken. That is it. Make your best plate of fried chicken for a table of judges. That's just exceptional. We have David Chang, Emeril Lagasse, Wolfgang Puck, Vinny DiTolo, John Shook, and Michelle Bernstein. Like,
sheesh.
A plus. There are like more accolades at this table than at a Phi Beta Kappa ceremony.
Yeah, and they're all like pretty well in their cups, like pretty early on too.
Yeah.
They're buzzing. They're having a good time.
Okay, Bits, take it away. I want to hear nothing but your thoughts.
Well, the first thought I have is, do you think this is actually where Tom was staying? I feel like probably, yeah.
Oh.
Or did they just like find this house?
I love that this is where we're.
If
I'm
it
excited.
Is where he's staying, it's a really nice spot.
Yeah, I'm giddy that this is where you're starting because it means that we're gonna get into some minutia that I hadn't even considered to discuss.
Yeah, weird areas. Well, so on the sort of house of it all, let's move to the floor plan because one of our favorite episodes I feel like we covered with Las Vegas was a similar sort of like dinner challenge where they cooked at the chef's. Residence at their rental. And so you had all these crazy people cooking in crazy corners of the room. Very famously, we lost track of a couple chefs who we speculated that maybe they made the fish in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Mr. Brian Baltaggio. And who was his partner for that? I can't remember now.
I think it was – no, it wasn't Robin. Robin was with Mike Isabella.
Somebody's cooking something in the bathroom. We never. It was the
woman.
Lost tapes.
Yeah, the lost tapes of season 6. Unsolved mystery.
Unsolved.
If
but
anybody listening, now that we have more fans, knows where Brian Baltaggio cooked his halibut, please
toilet
let us
halibut.
Know.
That's what it was. Right, right. Halibut gate. Okay. But returning to this house. So I love a challenge where the chefs have to kind of like grab the counter where they can, set up shop, and then play this like stupid dance of like, that's my oven. Like, no, that's my – like it's so uncomfortable. Okay. Wow. Where to even start with this challenge? Let's start with Jody and Josh's extremely cringe showdown about quote, in my neck of the woods – the sort of like inciting words that Josie threw out there as she's prepping her chicken, basically kind of like trying to pose, I guess like trying to kind of like put herself in the corner of like, I'm from the South and we know how to make chicken. And in my neck of the woods, this is how you do it. And Josh's ears perked up real quick on that one. Yeah. As you know, I'm on Josh's side on that one. Like I don't know if Miami's the South.
I don't think of Miami's the South, nor do I think of it as a bastion of fried chicken.
Yeah. That was like, oh God, that's moments like that where I'm like, stand down, Josie, just stand down and everything like would be so much easier. Oh God. I don't know.
Yeah. It should be noted that like Josie has such an easy target on her back and front, honestly, this episode. Like,
yes.
I think there was a real divide among the judges in Restaurant Wars about who should go home.
Yeah.
And I kind of think they're out for blood. Like, this is – yes. We're getting revenge for Kristen Kish in this episode.
I completely agree. And on top of that, we have Michelle Bernstein here, like you mentioned, who was famously the guest judge that sent – Josie home the first time she was on Top Chef season 2. Mm-hmm. So Josie, I think, is also feeling the heat from that as well, feeling the guilt from last episode. And mm-hmm. eesh, yeah, that eesh. Like, ooh, that scene in the kitchen was just super uncomfortable. And like,
oh my gosh, yes. Well, and let's talk more about what Josie actually made. Let's really dive in because we only have a few chefs left, so we can really talk about what they cooked. So Josie set out to make a daikon salad with Southern chicken two ways. There were wings and then there was chicken and biscuits.
Yes.
And to no surprise at all, Josie ran out of time.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a question for you. Do we count this as an end both ways? Because she didn't actually execute on it.
Oh, I think we should because the intention was there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. Oh, good flag. I didn't even catch that one. That's so true.
But so she didn't finish her chicken either way because she only got one done and they hated it, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wow, did they hate this chicken.
The banana leaf was the first thing that set them off. Like it came out on a huge banana leaf. Like nothing screams South like being on a banana leaf. And like, what's her name? The Shook guy, Emerald, they're like, you know, looking at each other, we'd run her right out of the South with this chicken, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. People about the South is a little, I don't know. It's hard to like tease out like how much of it is just my frustration that Kristen got eliminated instead, and how much of it is how much of it I'm just sort of like annoyed with all this like posturing about like, oh, the South, that's on my neck of the woods. I don't know. I get it. Y'all do make the best fried chicken, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'll take, you know, a Southern drumstick any day. But this was not that.
This was nuts. That
oil on the banana leaf, like, they were horrified.
Southern Miami fried chicken.
And by the way, it should not go unnoticed that this is the second time, and we'll talk about everyone's performance. This is the second time that, on the whole, all of the chefs have done poorly. And, like, kind of the, like, embarrassed us in front of our friends. Like, the judges have to be a little tired of apologizing for the chefs.
I completely agree. And I think also beyond the doing poorly, Josie is excluded from this because she, at least, I made the note for each of these people when it came out. Oh, that looks like fried chicken. Hers at least looks like fried yes. chicken. But the majority of the chefs that didn't do well, to your point about, okay, again, we have this kind of like failure across the board, is it's like they didn't even have the right idea at all. Like, they didn't have a good – it wasn't that they had the right intention and then failed in that endeavor.
Yes.
They like fully didn't even aim in the right direction.
That is so well put. Okay, let's talk about – who do you want to go to next? Because there are a few people God. Who are in that category.
Let's kind of go in the order they came out. So I think Lizzie, Sheldon, and Josie came out first. So let's mm-hmm. talk about Lizzie next. She did fried chicken with peach and cabbage slaw. But her fried chicken was a chicken cutlet. It was not fried chicken. And this is actually, she was the first that put her chicken on the table or maybe had the judges take a bite, because the first thing the guest judge says is, wow, this is crispy. It's moist. It's really good. But then conversations going, Tom saying, yeah, but you know, with the whole chicken and then this is what you give us. And the guy's like, wait, hold on. They had the whole chicken and this is what she made. And in that moment, that summarized the entire vibe, like the audience's yes. entire reaction to this episode.
Just like the choices they made were so dumbfounding at every turn. I don't understand. Like, we just came off, or not just, like a few episodes ago, we had the like, but make it healthy challenge. You know,
yeah.
I don't understand why so many of them were like, I just like to make it a little healthier.
Well,
it's
and
a
she
fried
sort of,
chicken challenge, bitch.
Yeah. And I don't even know that was certainly Brooke's case. And we'll talk mm-hmm. about that. For Lizzie, she kind of was like, I don't understand what fried chicken is. Like, she sort of like, this to me was fried chicken. I was like, okay,
I take umbrage with the I don't know what fried chicken
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I do too, Schick. Man. I mean, there's a KFC in literally every country.
Yeah, and also she lives in the United States.
Yeah, and that.
Like, no, that is an unacceptable excuse.
I have more to say on this. I want to hold on to it for now, but I will be reopening the Lizzie file.
Okay. But it should be noted that her peach slaw was excellent. Like, they were really taken by it.
And the chicken was good, too. It just wasn't what she should have done.
It was like a nice summer Milanese. Like,
yeah.
I have this for dinner a few times a week, a little chicken cutlet with a nice arugula salad on top. Mm. Tangy. Delicious. It's just, you know, that reaction of, like, they had a whole chicken and this is what they decided to do.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay, so let's talk Sheldon.
So Sheldon did good. He had umami drumsticks and momofuku thighs. I forget which was which.
In my notes, I have Sheldon umami fried chicken and momofuku style.
Okay. So he also did drums and thighs. Mm-hmm. They really liked Sheldon's. Yeah. It was good. It was juicy. His also looked like fried chicken. And I think they just... Their only complaint was that there needed to be more of it.
Yeah. Pretty ballsy, by the way, to do momofuku fried chicken for David Chang.
Yeah, I was surprised
the
that that wasn't more
of momofuku.
Of a talking point.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, because he's kind of smug, you know? I figured he'd say something.
Yeah, David Chang, unfortunately, in the year 2024, sort of became a villain of the food world.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How quickly we forget.
If we were to do Where Are They Now, like, The short of it is he tried to sue a bunch of small businesses for use of the trademark Chili Crisp, which is just like,
that's right.
It's like trademarking soy sauce. Like it is a condiment, you know? And he was met with a lot of ire from small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And his defense wasn't good. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Beside the point.
But
go Sheldon. Bold, we love you, yeah. Sheldon.
We love Sheldon. Good for you, Sheldon.
By the way, Sheldon was just nominated for a James Beard Award.
Go Sheldon.
He deserves it.
Go. Sheldon, go.
Go. Go get your award, Sheldon.
Go. They like you. They really like you. Okay, so that was like the first wave. And then they take chef's leave, meow, meow, meow. We get a lot of like hot goss at the table. This group is, like you said, out for blood.
Yep.
Rambunctious is the word. And then, okay, while this yum, yum, yum chicken is happening, we cut back to the kitchen. We see Brooke kind of in a state of Josie level scramble.
Yeah.
Her chicken's like ready too early. Let's talk about Brooke's arc this episode too, because I think it starts all the way back when we're in the Top Chef kitchen. And she is hacking the chicken up, and Josh takes a look at it, and he goes, oh, my God, what are you doing to that chicken? like, he clocked it really early on, like, uh-uh. Like, that is not – we are not walking the same path here on the fried chicken highway. So fast forward, we get to Tom's house, allegedly, and she's ready too early. Her chickens are done, but she's got 15 minutes, so she's freaking out. Like, they're going to – be terrible by the time they hit the table. Let's talk about this. So her strategy ends up being, I'm going to put them in the oven and keep them warm in the oven, and then I'm going to refry them. How is that better than just serving room temperature, whatever?
Or just keeping them warm in the oven.
Yeah, like why do they have to go back? Okay, we should also mention what she said. So she did a Duca crusted chicken breast. Duca crusted to me was just like all I needed to hear as far as
lost me. And she was initially going to try to fry the chicken skin and put it in the breadcrumb mixture, but then decided she didn't have enough time.
Right.
But then it kind of seems like she had enough time.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's right. But I mean, it's like full, you know, chicken breast. Again, breast. Like...
We're eating chicken breasts if we're on a diet. By the way, she said that herself on her interview with us.
Yeah, that's true.
She was like, I hate chicken breasts. I wonder if maybe she has some like PTSD with this challenge.
I would, yeah.
But like, she was like, no, you shouldn't be eating a chicken breast.
Oh man, but it was super dried out. There's this whole showdown where she gets to the table and she like realizes she didn't hire two of the guest judges, and then that's awkward.
Yeah,
they like kind of like made that like way awkward, than more awkward than it needed to be.
Yes,
it wasn't helped by the fact that she didn't remember without like several like prompts. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. This was definitely the like this to me. I mean, Josie's kind of always bad, and that's kind of a given. This was the real sad story of this episode. Was
I
just
mean, the funny quote at the table was, why the fuck are there no bones? Like, they're just so over it. They're like, why aren't people just making fried chicken for us?
Yes. And then
it's like, fried chicken is an art form. No doubt. It is challenging. No doubt. But why make it even more challenging by putting a dumb twist on it?
Yeah. I feel like you could have made at least mid fried chicken. I mean, if you even attempt it, well, I shouldn't say that because Josie did and you know where that got her. But yeah, I just – and then you had what's his name at the table going, I wouldn't even call it The Apprentice. Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck was on one.
Yeah.
He's so clever, so sharp.
Yeah.
Doesn't he threaten to throw someone's chicken in the ocean?
Yeah, but whose is it? I can't remember.
I think it's I wouldn't call it The Apprentice.
Wouldn't even call it The Apprentice.
you do a really good Wolfgang Puck.
Thank you. That wasn't good. there's certain words. Apprentice is a good one to get a good German or Austrian accent.
Wow. So who went up with Brooke?
Then we also had Stefan and we had Josh. Let's start Stefan because let's just hang out at the bottom a bit more.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Chicken cordon bleu. Like, I'm going to jump ahead of judges table a little bit, but Padma absolutely nailed it. This dude is such a bullshitter. When he's like, no, like, this is like, this is what I think of with fried chicken. Like, da, 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 da. It's like, no, it is not. Like, Where's your head at?
Once again, you live in the United States. This man lives in California.
Yeah.
He has experienced fried chicken before.
Yes. Yes.
I actually would like to go back on his first season and see if there was a fried chicken moment because, like, it is so egregious, his explanation. Also egregious is, like, chicken cordon bleu is gross. He didn't do anything to change the source material. He literally just made, as they said, airplane food.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't deconstruct it. He didn't do anything interesting to it. That plate was beige, mama.
Yeah.
It was bland, baby G.
So bad. And then awful. Emerald says, I have the blues right now. I'm like, oh, Emerald, keep your day job.
No, I love him.
He is cute. Yeah, he is cute. Okay, here's when I wanted to reopen the Lizzie file, though, because okay. I feel like we got a little bit of a biased slash unfair read on this whole I don't understand fried chicken thing. Because you have Lizzie who comes out and basically says, literally, she says, I'm not really familiar with fried chicken. And we hear Padma say, quote, that's fair. And then at the same time, you have Stefan making chicken cordon bleu and his whole excuse is like, I don't really like know what fried chicken is. Like, this is what fried chicken is to me, whatever he said. And they were just like, you're bullshit. And so I guess in the very focused scale, I don't understand how both these things can be true and permissible in the context of this episode. But even beyond that, as we were saying earlier with Lizzie, it's like, this is Top Chef, dude. Like, you're asked to make things that you don't know what they are all the time. Why do you get a pass this episode?
Yes, preach. It's interesting, the inconsistency with which they accepted those remarks. I think Padma doesn't like Stefan. I think she thinks he's an asshole. I think she feels that he has skirted the rules too many times. Like, Lizzie, I agree. Like, I think what she did this episode was sort of unforgivable. But I would have to go back and check the notes. But, like, I kind of think every other time she has risen to the occasion. Like, Stefan has literally done smoked salmon and potatoes for every single challenge. Because like, this is what I know in Germany. Once again,
he has literally done potatoes and meat every challenge.
He's the Brian Voltaggio of this season.
Oh, man.
But I like Brian Voltaggio more. Sorry, Stefan. Like, at least Brian Voltaggio has the balls to cook a fish in a toilet. Like, just, I don't know.
I love this rumor.
Yeah, we are starting this rumor. I'm kind of with Padma. I am okay wielding the sword inconsistently with this. There's a real smugness about him and a real unwillingness to try.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I love Stefan because he's just like TV. Good TV. He knows.
He is good TV.
It's interesting. Like, in one way, he sort of like doesn't. He tries to kind of skirt the rules as a chef, but he absolutely plays by the rules when it comes to a reality star.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good point. He's comedic relief this season.
Totally, totally, totally.
I kind of feel like, or I don't know, this is maybe putting, like, projecting too much. I feel like he sort of clocked that he wasn't going to win this go around. This was a real, like, you can't return home again.
Yeah.
He made it to the runner-up of his season. And again, I think this might be wild conjecture, but I sort of feel like he knew he wasn't making it to the end, which is ironic because the talent that's left, like Brooke is the runaway best of all of them. At this point in time, we don't know that Kristen Kish is coming back from Last Chance Kitchen. And so, like, I guess that's why I feel like I'm completely wrong in this prediction or like hypothesis, because if I were Stefan, I'd be sitting there being like, all I got to do is beat Brooke.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But that actually is a good segue into the next chicken to review, which is Josh, who came out with him. And Josh, to his credit, is the runaway winner of this challenge.
Yeah. But boy, was he smug as a bug about it.
Oh, smug as a bug. His fucking brown paper bag, secret spices. Like, he put on a show. And you know,
grandpa.
Yeah, my granddad. Like, blah.
We're rude.
You know what? We kind of needed that hamming it up because we didn't have anyone else doing it this episode. Like,
honestly, yeah, he can flex all he wants.
It's okay. The reason why it was okay is because he was the only one doing it. If like five of them had been like, this is my granddad's recipe, I would have been like, yawn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess he kind of earned it. And to no surprise, his fried chicken was delicious and they all felt like, yep, this is the real deal.
Yeah, combo of smokiness and blue cheese and not a lot of notes. He just made fried chicken. Love it.
He fulfilled the brief.
And no bacon.
And like, so crazy that the one time it would probably be appropriate to serve bacon. Yeah. He does it.
We
in
got
the
two bagels in the sushi.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
For sushi master straight out of Japan, Katsuya. He
and then this
bacon.
One, he's like, "No, no, no! I must follow its pure manifestation."
Oh my god! Well, honestly, good because I was fucking bored of bacon.
Boring.
Boring. But okay, so that brings us to the end of our recap of the dishes. So if we didn't make it abundantly clear, Josh is the clear winner. I'd say Sheldon is a strong runner up, but like mm-hmm. he was not eclipsing Josh on this one to his credit. And then kind of everyone else totally flopped.
Flop. Biggest
Lizzie,
flop in the town square.
But yeah.
Yeah, Lizzie kind of like got away with being in the top, maybe just because it's an even number now. But
yeah,
They like really dragged Josie at judge's table.
Yes,
like
they did.
No time.
Blaming the fryers. Blaming the time.
Yeah, the actual physical exit as well with the hug / high five like mix up. Attempted hug at Brooke. Yeah. That's my like deepest fear is like when I'm leaving, I give the wrong goodbye gesture.
That's a good one.
You know?
It's a good fear.
But it's a good fear. It's a reasonable fear.
That's a good fear. You're allowed to have that fear. But yeah, I mean, Tom was over it. Tom wanted her out. He said, "You are wasting time." And that sort of felt like a dig so both mean. At the challenge and also like you are wasting all of our time here.
Yeah.
Like you have wasted our time this entire season with your excuses, with your showmanship, with your shitty food.
Shitty food, shitty food.
That felt
food.
Like Tom waiting to say it.
Yeah. Bad doo-doo food.
Bad.
Duca food.
Stefan, I mean, they said everything that, you know, we
heard
we
around
said.
The table.
Once again, Tom really dug into him. It's bullshit. And then Brooke, I think, did a poor job, but just, like, not as egregious as the other two.
Yeah. The like, walking away from the flavor that you get from the bone is just sort of wild to me, like, as they raised at judge's table.
Yes. I will say that if Josie hadn't, like, pulled her shenanigans in Restaurant Wars, I actually think Stefan would have gone home this challenge.
Yeah.
This, to me,
honestly,
felt
like, I thought Brooke might have. Like, hers was actually bad.
Yeah, hers was bad, but... And the irony is, like, Josie, while her chicken wasn't good, it was on the bone and it was fried.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I actually think that this was a rare moment of just, like, emotional judging from
yeah.
all of these judges.
I actually agree with that. They're like, we cannot.
It's, Tom, you're wasting cannot. Our time.
So, all right. Lizzie's, I mean, she's, her words, not mine. Lizzie's Southern Fried Chicken, would you eat that?
You mean Josie's?
Oh, brother. Josie's Southern Fried Chicken, would you eat that?
Ironically, like, yeah, I would eat that.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Michelle Bernstein literally said she put it down.
Okay, fair. I revise my answer. No.
Not that – I don't know. We never really negotiated the rules of would you eat that if I'm allowed to use, you know – counterpoints to try to sway you, but I think this was a good one to pull that on.
Okay. I appreciate it. I, as I have said many times on the pod, am capable of changing my mind with a compelling argument.
Totally.
I am not so stuck in my ways.
Well, I would eat that.
Oh, what? Okay, I need it too.
Oh, wait, can I have some? No, I wouldn't eat that. Can I change my answer? I would definitely not eat that. I honestly don't like things that are served on banana leaves. If I see it coming out on a banana leaf, I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be mid.
It's soggy, dude.
Yeah. Literally anything served on a banana leaf is definitely not going to be good.
Okay, I will just only counterpoint to that. That would be a good judgy table, by the way. Like, if it's served on a banana leaf,
can I just save that?
But no, only counterpoint to that is at Ugly Baby, may she rest in peace, but is being resurrected into Hungry Thirsty, which we will, or Thirsty Hungry, which you and I will definitely be eating at when it opens. They had a delicious fried fish that came on a banana leaf.
That is true. That is literally the only thing I can think of. Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
But you're
there.
Right. But you're right.
Whoa. Okay. Did we both change each other's mind this episode?
Whoa. See you on the other side. Oh, I think it's time for me to give a little update, though, on where Josie is now.
Please.
And surprisingly, the most comprehensive source was LinkedIn. Oh. She has a very substantial about section on LinkedIn. Other than that, a lot of a lot of old news, you know?
Okay.
So I'm going to read this like from her words. Quote, I'm a chef and social ecopreneur with a big heart, inspiring change through the power of food and creating businesses which are environmentally and socially conscious. Now I'm going to switch to me. She founded the Global Soul Project, which is a food organization driven by the philosophy that food connects us all. She is still in the Miami area. She is in, still has a restaurant called Bubbles and Pearls. This is like a champagne raw bar. I found some drama around COVID time when it was closed for a while. It seems that things have gotten out of just restaurant being closed. She got COVID, so it was shut down for a while. But still going strong. She's also kind of goes on to touch on a lot of more creative pursuits. She is actually a radio host for a show called It's Happening Out Productions. So she does on-air voiceovers and is a TV host talent for the IHO TV network. It's Happening Out as a talk show. She's on Q News Tonight, which is an LGBTQ plus nightly news situation. And then another show called Happening Fun. So she's a little bit of a like TV radio personality right now. It seems to be what she's interested in. She's got a little bit of a...
She's also, if I recall from Instagram of when I followed all these chefs at the beginning when we started this recap, a DJ.
Oh, but isn't everybody? Does that even count?
Isn't everybody? She's a
God
know,
is a DJ.
A dilettante. She has many talents. A renaissance woman.
I think she has a good... I actually think she has a... I know it's like usually used as a form of an insult, but I do think she... Well, no, I guess that's you have a face for radio. She has a good voice for radio.
She does, yes. I got like a have a face voice for podcasting is what I'll say.
We have a friendship for podcasting.
That is so beautiful. You're going to make me cry.
I know.
I love you.
Cry.
Cry.
I mean, okay. I see cry.
Let's thank you for that. Where are they now? Josie, glad you're doing well. Let's do some judgy tables. I've changed mine from the cold boat. I'm going to save that for next week when we talk about
of course
a cold boat ride.
I mean, wow.
But you have one and I know you're excited about it. So I want to let you rip it. Okay.
So spoiler alert, I kind of like let mine out of the bag.
Oh, do you want to like recap it or do you want to?
Let me just recap it.
Okay. Your judgy table starts again now.
Oh, I don't know. This feels lame. We really over exhausted this, but I really do think it was absolute bullshit that we could use the excuse that I don't know what fried chicken is. So not really exciting. I'm trying to like think of a better one, to be honest.
That's okay. I think that you really like gave it a lot.
Yeah, I gave it a lot of airtime. And so
everybody, please heart, please give your heart for Bits, who gives everything for this pod.
She's allowed to have a 10-second judging table and also jump the gun too much on it.
Yeah. Okay, I've thought of a new judgy table, and I feel like it might surprise you and be kind of controversial.
Oh, good.
Okay, my judgy table starts now. Fried chicken. Okay, I never thought that I, the chicken whisperer, would be in this camp. However, about 6 months after I moved into my apartment building, a fried chicken restaurant called Chick Chick opened in like the retail space at the bottom of my building.
No.
And the exhaust pipe is right over the door, the entryway to my building. And it is the most nauseating smell. Truly, like, it has turned me off from eating fried chicken forever. I am done. It is such a disgusting smell. When they first moved in, everyone was like, oh man, like, it's going to be so tempting. And we all collectively hate the smell of this fucking chicken. We're 4 years on and ne'er a piece of fried chicken has passed my lips in due course.
Oh my God.
I can't do it.
Oh my God, that one's so good. You have mentioned this before. Yes, no, this is coming back to me. The funny thing that people need to know too about where you live is, like, you live in a very nice, respectable, like, Upper West Side building. Like, it's very classic New York. So the fact that the first thing that you smell leaving and entering this building is fried chicken exhaust is actually crazy.
It's crazy. And it's like used oil. Like, and I smell it on my clothes. Like, sometimes there are plumes of smoke coming out of the exhaust. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm gonna be poisoned to death by the fried chicken exhaust. It's disgusting. So, unfortunately, I mean, honestly, all of my doctors are probably grateful for this, like, update in my life, but, like,
probably.
Whoa, fried chicken on special occasions only in this house. And like, not from Chick Chick.
Very far away from
where
it happened.
Exactly. So that's my judgy table.
Good judgy table, to be honest. What a wild episode. This episode, Nancy, I'm already excited to talk to you again next week. Because I had a little sneak peek, and the next episode is somehow crazier than this one.
Somehow unhinged.
Somehow we're back on a boat.
The Pacific Northwest, they love cold boats.
Oh, my God.
And stay tuned next time for the inevitable cold boat judgy table that I have been teasing this entire episode.
Oh, can't wait. I'll see you then.
Can't wait. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.